Rwy'n Sin Zion, sef Yudtas. We're now beginning a Miwyl Ocam. Miwyl Ocam. Now, there's something, I don't understand necessarily why, but the beginning of the Simon began also a little bit with a Miwyl Ocam, where you learn about there's a heta of Shvus to Shvus B'mokam Mitzvah. You can ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you if it's a Malacha D'Rabbonon for a Mitzvah. And they're called Shvus to Shvus B'mokam Mitzvah. And now the Mechaber returns to also Inyonim of Amir L'Ochem. I was thinking, the way of Hakdoma of the Amir L'Ochem, that there's always, I think, five things to take into account when you're looking at Amir L'Ochem. One is that there's an issue called the Daber Dover. The Torah says that the way you speak on Shabbos has to be different. And that means you're not, one thing included in that is that you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha. If you tell a non-Jew to do malacha, you're doing a dibur that's forbidden. Forget the malacha, the fact that you're speaking about malacha and doing malacha is a dibur, your speech is forbidden. So it's the fact that you've spoken, never mind the non-Jew doing anything, the fact that you spoke about it is one thing that's forbidden.
Is that true for Rabbonim as well?
Yeah. If there's no mitzvah involved, right? So
if there's a mitzvah involved in doing a
then there's a heter.
Then you can ask him to do the malacha.
If there's a mitzvah involved, that's right. If it's a malacha d'rabbonon, this is d'rabbonon, you can ask him outright for a mitzvah. That's right. So there's one thing included is the dibur, the way you speak. Then there's something that there's another problem called shlichus, that the non-Jew is your agent to do a malacha. That means, what does shlichus means, is that if I have a non-Jew doing a malacha, it's like I did the malacha. Now, I'm not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. If the non-Jew does it, it's like I've done it. The shlichus. Why do you need both reasons? Well, think about, if you ask a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos to do a malacha on Shabbos for you, so on Friday you ask him to do a malacha for you, say, come in and hoover up for me. Okay, so there's no problem with your dibur, because on Friday you're allowed to speak about malacha. But on Shabbos, when he does the malacha, it'll be shlichus. Or if you would ask him to do on Shabbos a malacha on Sunday. So on account of the shlichus, there's no problem, because when he does the malacha on Sunday, there's no problem doing malacha on Sunday. But you spoke about it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. So you can't say, on Shabbos, you can't say to a non-Jew, come to my house on Sunday and do malacha for me.
What about when you have on Shabbos, sometimes people are catered Kiddush?
They have to be told to do things that are permissible on Shabbos, that you could do it yourself. Anything that you can do yourself, you can ask a non-Jew to do. So plate up some cake, there's no problem. You can have non-Jews doing something that you could do. You don't want to, you, at the Kiddush, you want to enjoy your simcha. So you employ non-Jews to do that. But it would be anything that you could do yourself.
But presumably that's not a hot Kiddush day or a hot meal, because the ovens would be turned on before Shabbos anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So they can't. That's why you can do it with a waiter or waitress. Yeah. You could do yourself.
Exactly. It's anything you could do yourself.
And what about the showman? He's paid.
Don't forget, the showman is a separate thing. The showman is Schar Shabbos. That was Shin Vav. You learned that as Simon beforehand. How does he get around his Schar Shabbos problem? Then you can talk about he's doing a mitzvah and all that business. But he's not a non-Jew. Right. Another thing there's a problem with Amir L'Ochem is that you can't benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew does for you unless there's a heter of a shvus to shvus b'mokam mitzvah. But generally, if a non-Jew comes in and says for you, oh, I'm sure you're really hot in here, let me just put the air conditioning on for you, and it really is boiling hot in here, and he puts the air conditioning on for you, you never asked him. So he's not your shliach, but you can't benefit from it. You have to go out the room, as far as I understand. So that's a third thing. You can't benefit from it. Yeah, if he does it for himself, that's different. But if he says, oh, you know, you Jews, you must be really hot in here, I'm just going to put the air conditioning on for you, then that's no good. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is is something called Nira Kishluchai. We talked about he is a shliach. If you ask a non-Jew to do something for you, that's he is your like shliach to do it, right? But there's some things which are Nira Kishluchai. They appear like he is your shliach, and that's also forbidden. So that will come up soon. Things that could give the impression that you had asked him to do it, that could be a Nira Kishluchai type of thing. It appears like you did it, like you told him. Let's say you learnt in Reish Mem Zayin. I always say you learnt because I just presumed you were here all the way from Siman Aleph. But assuming you were here for Reish Mem Zayin, you learnt about the giving letters. So you can't ask a non-Jew. I'm not talking about the postal service, but you have a non-Jew. You say to the non-Jew, here's my letter, right, Craig, take my letter to the next door neighbor, right? You tell Craig and he takes your letter. So you can't give him a letter on Erev Shabbos to deliver it, because when he goes on Shabbos, on his own choice, you never told him to go on Shabbos, but it looks like your shliach because you gave it to him on Friday and he's gone on Shabbos. So therefore, he looks like your shliach. That's the fourth thing. And then there's something called Maris Ayin, which is a fifth thing. The Maris Ayin comes up all over the place. Maris Ayin is that you can't hang out wet clothes on Shabbos because it gives the impression you did laundering on Shabbos. So there's something called Maris Ayin. Let's say I bought a house and I'd like to do it up and get some builders in and sort it all out. So I tell the builders, you know, work 5 days a week, and they decide they want to come in on Shabbos to do it. There's a Maris Ayin problem because it looks like you had told them to come in on Shabbos. Okay, so that's five things. So with that, hopefully we'll try and understand some of these. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Schoira hanifsedes b'Shabbos al yedei geshomim o dova acher." You have some valuable merchandise that's about to be ruined, the rain or something, whatever it is, it's going to be ruined. Oh, osi bidka, the mayo, massive momono, or flash floods coming. We know that just happened in Eretz Yisrael. Flash floods, it's going to destroy your merchandise. It's going to be a big loss. Oshe nisra chovis shel yayin, the barrels of wine look like they're about to explode. The hoylech le'ibod, then you're going to lose your wine or your merchandise. Mutter likrois eino Yehudi, you can go and call a non-Jew, meaning you're allowed to tell him, come, Craig, come, right? You're allowed to tell him to come. Afal pi shavada yodei she'eino Yehudi yatzil mamomon, even though you know that when Craig comes, he's going to save your property. He might have to do a malacha to save your property, okay? I'm not quite sure what the... he says... Some examples, Mishnah Berurah. He might have to carry for you, okay? He might have to carry in the Rishos HaRabim. He might have to move it about. So that might, he might have to save it for you by carrying it. So let's say there's a malocha involved, and he's going to do a malocha by saving your property. You can tell him, come, okay? You cannot instruct him to do the malacha, but you can tell him, come in, okay? If he could save your property through an issa derabbanan, and there would be a big loss, that's fine. You can tell him, because for when it comes to a big financial loss, you can tell a non-Jew to do an issa derabbanan. But here we're talking about an issa deraisa. For some reason, he has to do an issa deraisa to save your property. You can't tell him directly, save my property, you know, do this malacha, but you can say, Craig, come. He will then understand when he comes what's the problem, and he will sort it out himself. Carries on the Shulchan Aruch. You can even do something furthermore. You can say, whoever saves my property won't lose out, meaning you'll financially recompense him. You can't say, Craig, come and save my property, because then I'm designating him as my shliach. But I can say, whoever comes and saves my property won't lose out. I mean, I'll make sure you're sorted. You get your compensation. But you mustn't say, says the Mishnah Berurah, you mustn't say Beloshon Noichach, you mustn't say in the second person, if you save, you won't lose out, because you're designating him as a shliach. Okay. But there is an opinion that doesn't allow this except with a fire. So let me explain a little bit what's going on. The Gemara says that when there's a fire, chas v'sholem, in a Jewish house, and there's no pikuach nefesh. Okay, so if there's pikuach nefesh, everything's mutter. But let's say there's no pikuach nefesh, it's just in your warehouse or something. So you can say, kol ha-matzil eino mafsid, whoever comes and saves won't lose out. But you cannot designate the non-Jew as a shliach. You can't ask him to do it. But you can hint at it. Now, why is it better to hint at it? Well, if you think about our introduction, if you ask a non-Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos for you, there's two problems going on. Two problems. One is your speech, for daber dova. You are speaking something forbidden. You are saying, Craig, do a malacha. And there's a second prohibition of shlichus, that when the non-Jew does the malacha, it's like you are doing it, because there's a second issue of shlichus. It's like me doing it. By him doing it, it's like me doing it. So if I only hint at him, I hint and I say, Craig, come along and see this. You've got to come to my warehouse. And you don't say anything else. You're hinting. Then there's no problem of speech, because you're not speaking about malacha. You're only hinting about malacha. But there is a problem of shlichus, that when he actually saves your stuff and carries it in the Rishus HaRabim and moves it far away, he's doing a malacha for you. That's a problem. But Chazal gave a special heter, and they said, if you've got a financial loss that comes suddenly and you've not had time to deal with it, and on Shabbos it come this terrible situation. You can imagine, I'll give you another example. Let's say, Chas v'Shalom, you're in your home and the sewage pipe bursts on Shabbos, and suddenly filth comes up on Shabbos, and your neighbor's a plumber, right? So you can say, Craig, come in, I've got to show you something. So you're hinting at him. So there's no dibur problem. Now he's going to start doing plumbing on Shabbos, and he's like your shliach. There's a heter, and it's okay. That's because there's going to be a big loss to you. There's a big problem here, okay? You can't say, Craig, I'd come to my shop. You know, it'd be really nice if you opened up my shop on Shabbos, okay? But there's a big problem. The sewage pipe broke. Your wine's about to break. You know, it's all going to spill. All your merchandise is going down the... Then you can hint to a non-Jew to do that. Otherwise, generally, you're not allowed to hint to a non-Jew. We'll see soon. You're not generally allowed to hint to a non-Jew to do malacha for you in a positive way. Any way that it's called remez bederech tzivoy. Any hint that implies that he must do something is forbidden. I'll come to that a bit later. Bear that in mind. Okay, so that...
Because I was told indirectly...
Yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll get to Chof Beis, when the Ramah talks about it. We'll talk about it more fully there. But remember this, that if you run out to a non-Jew and say, Craig, you've got to come to my warehouse, you're really hinting, Craig, come and save my property in my warehouse, right? That's like an instruction. But there's no dibor involved. There's a hint. But he will be like your shliach. But there's a special heter, Chazal, were lenient for a big loss. Pikuach nefesh is mutter. If there's no pikuach nefesh, should you create in today's day and age a situation where you know there's no pikuach nefesh, then you can't call the fire brigade. You have to somehow get a non-Jew to call the fire brigade.
Even if your house can be burned down. Outside,
yeah. Usually, what we say that usually we say nowadays, you are going to have a loss. Yes. So you can hint to a non-Jew. That's right. You can say, Craig, my house is burning down.
There's no non-Jew around.
Let's say there's no non-Jew. Right.
Because if you don't, your house burns down.
Right.
Your insurance company is going to have a bit of an argument with you and say, well, why didn't you call the fire brigade?
Right, so you, but you can't say, so you can't do a malacha. You can ask a non-Jew to do a malacha.
There's no non-Jew around and your house is going to burn down.
Right. And there's no pikuach nefesh. Now, you, I want you to know, the poskim say that there is, nowadays when our houses, chas v'sholem, burn down, there is pikuach nefesh because it's a big fire. You don't know what's happening and it can spread to other Jews in the neighbours, right? Yeah, but
if you mash iron then, because the non-Jew might equal for the tiger, I suppose. But if you, if
well, we can't allow a nisa d'oraisa for that, for maris iron. We can be lenient, perhaps, at times with nisa d'rabbanon, but with a nisa d'oraisa, we can't necessarily be lenient with that. But don't worry. If chas v'shalom the house is on fire, we usually say it's pikuach nefesh, and then you should call the fire brigade with a shinoi, perhaps. But that's pikuach nefesh. In if there was definitely no pikuach nefesh involved, then it's more difficult.
Are you allowed for a non-Jew as well? If there's only one next door neighbour who's not Jewish, are you allowed to?
There's only one non-Jewish neighbour.
Mind you, you could ask him.
You just take to him, go out your house. Yeah. There's actually, it's interesting because here in the Deer Shoe they talk about this. It says, let's say Chas v'Shalom, the fire's in the non-Jew's house,
yes,
right? But you're the next door neighbour.
Yes.
Okay.
The non-Jew's not there.
No, let's say he is there. Let's say he is there. So he brings down in the Dershu that the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, says that you can tell the non-Jew to put out the fire. Which is, actually, you know what? Let me come back. Let's just read the next sif. Let's read the next sif. I'll come back to it. Let's read a couple more. Okay. Chof. Yisrael sha'amah le'en Yehudi la'asos lo malocha b'shabbos. Let's say you broke this halocha and you ask a non-Jew to do malocha for you. You say, Craig, put the mazgan on, put the air conditioning on, okay? Mutar lo lehonis bo le'erev b'chdei she'yosu. That air conditioning machine does not become forbidden forever because a non-Jew did malocha for you. You can benefit from it after Shabbos, what's called Bechdei Sheye Osu, in the amount of time it would have taken the non-Jew or you to do the malacha yourself after Shabbos. More classic case, let's say a non-Jew cooks for you on Shabbos, I don't know. Let's say a non-Jew cooked for you and there was no problem with Bishul Ochim or something. So the non-Jew cooked for you, let's say it took him half an hour to cook it. So you're not allowed to eat that food for half an hour after Shabbos. Because we don't want you benefiting from what the non-Jew did for you. Because, says the Rambam, if Chazal would allow you to benefit from the malacha that a non-Jew does for you, you would just then get non-Jews to do malacha for you. And you would say, oh, I didn't ask him. You know, there's no proof I asked him. So there would be people would be a bit crooked about this. So therefore, in order that people shouldn't ask non-Jews to do malacha for them, Chazal said that if a non-Jew does malacha on his own for you, or even if you ask him to do malacha, you mustn't benefit from that malacha till what's called b'chdei she'yosu. And the amount of time it would be that malacha could have been done after Shabbos. Okay? Chof Aleph. Also lomar le'enu Yehudi b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbos. Heilach basar zeh. Here's some meat. Or bashel oso l'tzarkecha. And cook it for your own needs. Even if he's not an eved, you're not obligated to feed him. You're still not allowed to tell him, here's my piece of meat, and cook it for yourself, says the Ramah. But you are allowed to tell him to do malacha for himself, meaning with his own stuff. That means you have to find the practical case, but you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos with his own stuff. Now, just forget in your own home a second. Being in your own home is a lot more complicated. We'll try and address that soon. But out your home, you can tell him, go and do malacha with your own stuff. So let's say the gardener comes, right? The gardener comes on Shabbos. The gardener has his own equipment and he's going to start gardening. Now, he, on his rounds, has decided to do you today and Bill, the neighbour, he's going to do tomorrow. Okay, so you say, you know, go and garden Bill's garden today right? And then you can worry about me another time. So you're allowed to tell the non-Jew, go and do malacha with his own stuff, okay? Even though you're talking about malacha on Shabbos, but it's not really malacha because you're telling a non-Jew to do malacha with his own stuff. That's not really malacha at all. So you're allowed to tell a non-Jew, do malacha with his own stuff on Shabbos. Where's a problem? Oh, so but the more of a problem is to tell a non-Jew, do malacha with your own stuff. I'll tell you, it's a really big problem. A shaila I've been thinking about a while, actually. I'm busy with this. But let's say you have a non-Jewish guy who comes into your home and he starts putting your kettle on. Okay, he's not doing it for you. He's doing it for himself. He wants his coffee. He's not interested in your Shabbos urn. He wants a good coffee. He puts the kettle on. Do you have to stop him doing that? No, why not?
It's for him. It's just his benefit.
It's his benefit. But the Shulchan Aruch says, Osa loyma le'en yudhi, you can't tell a non-Jew on Shabbos, Heilech bosazeh, here's my meat, and you cook for it for yourself. Because since it's my property, there's a problem. First of all, I can't tell him to do it, because it's a dibur of malacha, because it's associated with my food and my stuff. And second of all, there's another issue that we talked about in the introduction, that's called nira kishluchai. Now, if a non-Jew is doing malacha in your home, it looks like you've instructed him to do it. You haven't instructed him, but it looks like you've instructed him. So it could be, if a non-Jew just comes in and starts putting the kettle on, it looks like to maybe you had instructed him to put the kettle on. So it's a bit of a problematic area, this. It could be Marisayan, it could be worse. I mean, it looks like he's doing it for you. So the Mishnah Brura in Simon Reish Mem Dalad brings the Chaye Odom, and the way he understands the Chaye Odom is that anything that's recognizable, that it's completely, totally the non-Jew's stuff, is mutter. So let's say you have a au pair living in your house, au pair or a lady that's working, she does stuff around the house, and she starts sewing her dress on Shabbos. And this dress looks like a real non-Jewish dress. Okay, this is not a Bas Yisrael dress. So therefore it's completely recognizable, it's a non-Jewish malacha, and she's doing her own malacha, therefore there's no problem. It doesn't look like you've instructed them to do it for you at all. It's clearly non-Jewish malacha done for themselves. The problem is, if this lady would then start cooking her meat in her pots on Shabbos, but with your oven, let's say, and does her meat look any different to your meat? Does non-Jewish, does treif meat look any different? No, let's say she's in her pot, so let's say it's on top. Or let's say she has her own oven. You own the oven, but it's for her, okay? So then, if it's completely hers, then maybe it's all recognisable it's hers. But maybe if it's your oven, it's double wrapped and everything, you know? So then, there's a problem here. So then Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach, he brings on the side, is Mekel. If they are using your gas and electricity, but it's all their meat, and the main things are theirs, it's fine. But there are machmirim with this. There are those that are more stringent. And if they're using your electricity, right, they're using your, then it's like they're doing malacha with your stuff, and it already looks like your shliach. And they, according to them, it would only be permissible if they're doing malacha with their own stuff completely. So therefore, just coming back to the shaila, if the non-Jew comes in to your house on Shabbos and puts the kettle on, then it could very well be osa, because there's nothing that's recognisable that it's their stuff. It's just water at the end of the day. There's nothing that's recognisable. Masha Einkein, if they start putting the pots on and putting their meat in, they bring their own meat and they put it in, this would be a case, again, where you have like an au pair or a helping lady that's in the house, then Rav Shlomo Zalman would be lenient because they're using their own meat in their own pots, and others might be machmir because they're using your electricity. If they're in their own room with their own kitchen and their own stove, then that's okay, because it's like doing their own malacha with their own stuff, and there's no marriage sign, they're in their own room. The Chof base. Kol Shvus de Rabbon and Mutter Bein Ashmoshes Letzerich Mitzvah. Gegen Loi Malain Yehudi Lahadlik Loi Ner Bein Ashmoshes. O im Horu Torud Vahutzrich Laase Bein Ashmoshes. Okay. Bein Hashmoshes is the time between Shkia and Seitz HaKochavim. So between sunset, which at the moment is about 8:25, and nightfall when three stars come out, which is like an hour later. That time in Halacha is a sophic if it's Shabbos or not. Has Shabbos come in or not? It's always considered a doubt. So since it's a doubt, says the Shulchan Aruch, you yourself can do an Issa Derabbanan in that time, because it's a Sofik Derabbanan Lekula. Now, what could be an example of this? It could be, let's say, climbing a tree on Shabbos. Let's say you left something on the tree on Shabbos. So you can climb up. So if it's a Tzorech Mitzvah, you left the shofar on the tree. This would be Erev Yom Tov. You left the shofar on the tree, you can climb up the tree to bring it down. Or if you need to tithe some fruits that you bought from Eretz Yisrael, you need to tithe them. Take Trumas and Maisras, so you can tithe them, because since nowadays Trumas and Maisras is only Derabbanan, and anyway taking Trumas and Maisras is only a Derabbanan on Shabbos, so you can do it Bein HaShmoshes. But the big problem with this, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that this doesn't really apply nowadays when we are Mekabel Shabbos. Because in all shuls, we're Mekabel Shabbos, basically, before Shkia. You're meant to be Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. You're meant to say, Boi V'Sholem, or Mizmor Shiliyam HaShabbos, or Baruch Hu, something that shows that it's Shabbos. And therefore, once you've been Mekabel Shabbos, then anyway, you can't do any Malacha. So it doesn't really have an application. It only has an application for somebody who, for some reason, hasn't been Mekabel Shabbos. Then they can't do malacha, but they can do an Issa Derabbanan for such a person. But Tzorichin, why they haven't been Mekabel Shabbos. Okay, so I'm sort of leaving it in the middle of Chof Beis to be finished on Sunday, Ezras Hashem.